Preface. Many books have been written about the Restoration movement in America. Some are general in nature, while others more limited in scope deal with the lives of particular individuals or specific time frames which plot the progressive nature of the movement. This book is not just another attempt to relate certain aspects of Restoration history, but is designed to tell the story of a particular group of people within the framework of that movement. These people are generally known because of their opposition to a plurality of cups in the communion and the Bible class Sunday school arrangement for teaching the Word of God. They are often called antis or one-cuppers and perhaps other names by some in an effort to belittle their influence or discredit their dedication. If I possess any unique qualifications for writing this book, it is the fact that I have been raised among these people and have spent all of my adult life preaching for churches of this persuasion throughout the greater part of North America. I have known many of the men discussed on the following pages personally and have been a witness to many of the events herein described. Many writers dealing with Restoration history who attempt a description of the one-cup, no-class advocates for some reason inadequately and inaccurately represent both the people and their beliefs. It is impossible to represent them correctly unless one understands what they believe about the authority of the Scriptures and the binding power of New Testament examples. If Moses was commanded by God to make all things according to the pattern, Hebrews 8 and verse 5, are not we bound by the same obligation? Either there is a pattern for the observance of the communion, or there is none. If there is none, then there can be no possible violation of a pattern, no wrong way of observing it. Any wrong or violation must presuppose the existence of a pattern which it violates. One-cup advocates unashamedly admit that not only is there a pattern, but we can know what the pattern is because the New Testament reveals it both for the observance of the communion and the public teaching of the church. Our task, then, is to describe as best we can those espousing these beliefs and their role in Restoration history. This group of dedicated conscientious Christians is determined to execute the King's business as they perceive his revealed will to dictate. Their lives and efforts have at times been filled with pathos, disappointment, and rejection. But their history has also been marked by many mountaintop experiences which determination and brotherly love combine to produce almost unbelievable results. Since human beings tend to forget and personal perceptions change with the passing of time, we have tried as much as possible to rely only on what has been written or documented for our information in an effort to avoid misrepresentation. This book is not designed to discuss the question of unity or how to best achieve it. We have no intention of upholding men because of who they are, nor shall we justify the actions or beliefs of anyone simply because they espouse the principles to which we adhere. It is admittedly difficult to be consistent and historically accurate when the activities of human beings are a reflection of their biases, prejudices, ideas, and ideals. This work could never have been completed without the help of many brethren and sisters across the land. Bits of information, including pictures, have been garnered from so many that it would be an impossible task to identify them all. Special mention is in order, however, of the great libraries where I have been privileged to study and research various aspects of this work: Texas Christian University, Fort Worth, Texas; Bethany College, Bethany, West Virginia; Abilene Christian University, Abilene, Texas; Oklahoma Christian College, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma; Disciples of Christ Historical Society, Nashville, Tennessee; and David Lipscomb College, Nashville, Tennessee. In addition to these, I have had access to complete sets of The Truth, published by H.C. Harper from 1928 to 1931, The Old Paths Advocate, 1932 to present, The Truth, published by J.D. Phillips, and a partial set of The Apostolic Way, founded by G.A. Trott and W.J. Rice in 1913, all of which were invaluable to my research. It is my hope that after studying the contents of this volume, the reader will have gained insight into the issues and circumstances that led to the formation of the group of people herein described. And now, let the story begin.